Hi, I'm Jessica Lilly, host of Inside Appalachia. The holiday season is such a special time here in the mountains. It's a time when our roads get a little busier as folks come home. As you remember the places and people you love, we hope you'll remember the stories you've heard and loved on West Virginia Public Broadcasting, like in the series The Struggle to Stay on Inside Appalachia.
If you want to stay here in West Virginia, then I believe you're doing something right. Because it's hard to want to stay here, in my opinion. It is so rough.
No matter where you've settled, West Virginia Public Broadcasting brings you stories about home. Support home with your donation before December 31st on our website at wvpublic.org. And thanks. Welcome inside Appalachia. I'm Jessica Lilly. Thanks for tuning in. You're one of a growing number of fans of Inside Appalachia. Thank you for telling your friends, and thank you for subscribing to our podcast on iTunes, Downcast, wvpublic.org, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today, we're going to listen back to a classic episode about Appalachian dialects. It originally aired back in 2015 and is one of our most popular episodes yet. Now, the Southern drawl ain't always accepted or perceived as appropriate in certain settings. It even comes with a negative stereotype from some folks. Because of that stigma, many of us Appalachians code switch. Back in 2015, Bluefield, Virginia native Shellyan Davis wrote about this on a blog called The Revivalist, Word from the Appalachian South. She talked about Appalachian accents and how sometimes our accent changes when we speak to our friends and family who live in the mountains. The post was called Appalachian Code Switching, and it names an action that many Appalachians can relate to. Davis lives in Richmond, Virginia now, but I caught up with her during a visit back home at her mother's house in Bluefield, Virginia. What made you decide to write this article?
Well, I had heard some discussion on NPR and on NPR's Twitter feed about code switching in the African American community, and there was a sort of a conversation brewing about how, kind of white, for lack of a better word, national NPR radio voices can be. And a person who was on the radio was noticing that he was talking differently. An African-American man was noticing that he spoke differently when he was speaking on the radio. And he was sort of thinking about why that might be. And so that started me thinking about the ways that I speak differently when I'm at home and when I'm talking to my mother, and more so when I'm talking to my grandfather, who's from over in Dickinson County. Realizing that I'd always heard my parents talking differently when they talk to their people from home, and thinking that Appalachians could switch a lot also. So that's what prompted me to write that.
Can you mention anything specifically that, like a conversation you were having with your mom that just made you think that you noticed your own accent as you were talking to her or anything like that?
You know, I talk to mom so frequently, it's hard to pick out a specific reference, but I definitely know that, you know, I live in Richmond now. And when I get off the phone with my mother, or especially when I get off the phone with my grandfather, my boyfriend will say, yeah, your accent has totally changed. I could totally tell who you were talking to. I can always tell when I'm home and I hear my mother on the phone, if she's talking to her family from over in Dickinson County, I can totally hear it. I know who she's talking to just from her word choices and the way her accent has deepened.
Do you think that there's a certain stigma that Appalachians suffer from and stereotypes because of their accents that other accents might not have to deal with?
Oh, I do think so. I mean, name me another accent that when you hear it, you think, oh, that person is less intelligent than I thought that they were. I feel like Appalachian accents are perceived as, I guess, people who speak with an Appalachian accent are perceived as being less intelligent. And I don't think we attach that same stigma to, say, a Boston accent or the stereotypical Southern accent or, you know, a European country accent. For me, I think it's helped that I didn't go that far from home. I live in Richmond, which is still a Southern city. They have their own accent. It's different from ours. But I think if I went further afield, I probably would have heard, I guess, more comments about my accent. But definitely people have asked me where I'm from. People who are also from Southwest Virginia or the Appalachian region have quickly identified me as one of them. It's a great way to find your fellow Appalachians when you're outside the area.
Well, and that's interesting too, because a friend of mine, a coworker, was talking, and he said, if you say goodnight in Alabama, then you're a Southern Belle, but if you say it here, then you're, you know, a backwoods hick and uneducated and things like that.
It is. It's interesting to me how the Southern accent is, I guess, sort of viewed. It seems to me that the Southern accent is viewed as this lovely, you know, melodious Southern belle sort of thing. And if you add a little bit of mountain to it, they're like, oh, look at this hillbilly. I guess she's not wearing shoes and she's dating her cousin. And, you know, all those stereotypes. And I think that the perception of the Appalachian accent as, you know, not necessarily good is also entangled with all the other stereotypes and perceptions of Appalachia more broadly as, you know, a lot of negative perceptions.
There were times when I've been told, you know, certainly to try and hide it and instructed specifically to hide it.
I never got that. I went to the University of Virginia and majored in English, but I was aiming to be a journalist also, but I was going into print. So nobody really cared how I talked, which was fortunate. And I came back to Bluefield, actually, and my first job was at the Bluefield Daily Telegraph, and I covered Grundy and Richlands in Buchanan County. And so it was actually kind of helpful to be able to slip into, you know, more of the accent that I would use with my grandfather and my mother's family if I was speaking to people over there for that job. But nobody's ever told me I need to lose it. And I have not lost it. It might not be as strong as it used to be, I think. But, you know, I never consciously tried to get rid of it. And I never consciously tried to keep it. It's only been in the past few years that I've really been thinking about it and thinking about Appalachian identity and thinking about, you know, my connections to home and all that sort of thing. So it probably has faded some, but I'm very glad it has not faded completely. I'm glad I don't have to, you know, make a great effort to get it back, because I would really hate to lose it. I think it's, you know, a really important part of who I am. It broadcasts to other people, you know, who I am. It's an identity that if you can't really hide your identity when you have a strong accent or any accent, I think. And I think that's a good thing. It's certainly not anything I've ever been ashamed of. And there are so many quirks and beautiful things about Appalachian language that I think are, you know, that other ways of speaking miss out on not having. Little things like using might could, you know, that construction. And I mentioned that in the blog post. That is so specific, because you're not saying, I could go to the party. That's kind of a commitment. You're saying, I might could go to the party, which is like, whoa, now I might not go, but I might could go. So, you know, it's a very, you know, specific level of where you're at with that party. So.
And this got quite a few shares. I think when I checked, it was like thousands, perhaps?
Yeah, I think he told me it got like 40,000 views, which was crazy to me. And I'm not sure how many shares it got, but it was a lot. It really seemed to resonate with a lot of people, which was really nice. It seemed like everybody who's moved out of the mountains wanted to come comment on it, because I think it's something very personal to everybody who has thought about their accents, or has ever had somebody comment on their accents. And some people have had negative experiences leaving the mountains and having their accents made fun of, and I'm lucky that I've never had that, but you know, I can certainly see how that happens.
And with that many shares and that, or that many views, what do you hope that people take away from this? Whether they've left the mountains or they still live in the mountains, or either way, what do you hope that people take away from that blog post?
I hope that they would take away that, you know, they have something of value that they should hang on to, and to not be ashamed of the way they talk, simply because they're told it's non-standard English or a non-standard dialect. Well, you know, the standard dialect is pretty boring. So I hope that they would, you know, never go out and be ashamed of who they are. I think being Appalachian is a huge thing to be proud of. It's such a unique culture and such a beautiful region, and I love home. And so I hope that they would see that and be like, you know, other people are like me, even if I have left. And that, you know, it's something to hang on to and an accent to treasure.
Well, Shellyann Davis, I know that the blog post was certainly inspirational for me and encouraging for me, so thank you for that.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
And thanks for joining us on Inside Appalachia.
Thanks for having me.
That was Shellyann Davis. She was recently a guest writer for the blog called The Revivalist, Word from the Appalachian South. She also writes her own blog called The Homesick Appalachian. More information is available at our website, wvpublic.org. Today we're talking about Appalachian accents, code switching, and in a few minutes we'll hear from a linguist professor in West Virginia who's been researching Appalachian dialects. For this episode, we wanted to hear what people across our region feel about their Appalachian accent. First, we'll head down to North Carolina, where reporter Derek Klein collected this interview with two local residents at Watauga County.
My name is Robert Ward. I've lived in Valley Cruces, North Carolina, most of my whole life. Been around here long enough to know.
Have you ever had an experience in which your accent or someone else's accent was commented on or talked about?
Well, yeah, we always talk about Yankees.
Can you share? One with me?
What?
Can you share one with me?
Yeah. What, a Yankee?
Yeah, just
oh, yeah, I can't talk like no Yankee, but talk like a Yankee for him, David. You've been up north.
Well, he just left.
Oh, yeah, we could have had him. New York.
He was sitting right
there. Oh, well, we missed him.
And let me run this back by over here to you two. Can you do the same thing for me?
Okay. Well, my name is David Mast. I've lived in Valley Cruces, North Carolina. I'm not going to say 62 years. I'm not my whole life because I'm not dead yet. But I've been in places before that people say, where in the world are you from? And just ordering breakfast or something. I say, Lord, have mercy, where are you from?
So how do you feel when you hear that other parts of the country have this to say about Appalachian people?
Well, the other parts of the country is okay because they really don't know what to talk about. They've never been here.
They just missed the mark.
Yeah, they just, I don't know.
The hype of their life by not living here, probably.
And you were telling me that, you know, you've had comments on people, you know, in restaurants or those kinds of things. Can you share something with me?
Sure. I mean, I don't know. I was up north one time, I was ordering breakfast and ordered grits, and I thought they was going to call law on me. They didn't even know what grits was. I'm like, come on, man.
Now, do you think you have an accent?
Well, when I hear myself, yeah. But actually, I don't think so, but when I hear myself, it's terrible.
Same question, actually. Do you think you have an accent?
Huh?
Do you think you have an accent?
I think I've got the normal speaking of the original people of this country, and my people was the first people in here. And they've just handed it down. I guess we might have picked up on some of the little more modern type language than they had exactly, but pretty much we all speak about the same thing.
Next, we'll hear from a history graduate student who grew up in southwestern Virginia about how he once felt embarrassed about his accent. Now he embraces it.
My name is Josh Howard, and I'm from Clifton Forge, Virginia. To be more specific, I'm from a little community that's just outside of Clifton Forge. It goes by Sharon, but nobody really talks about that, and it's not really on a map. But I very much so identify as being somebody that's from Clifton Forge and from Allegheny County. I've lived in a lot of places over the past decade or so, after living my first 18 years in Clifton Forge. Most notably, I lived in Blacksburg, Virginia, in Morgantown, West Virginia, and in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, most recently. So when I was, 15 or 16, I, like many other people, many other dumb youths, was in a band. I was in a band, and we kind of thought of ourselves as, indie rock or punk rock or something like that. And all of us had either spiked up or shaggy hair, and we would play various concerts. We weren't any good. I'm well aware we weren't any good, but we would play concerts, in the general area. We went to one of these shows once, and after the show, after we had played, a group of people came up to talk to us, specifically to talk to me and to talk to our lead singer, Chad. And, they walked up to us, and before they said anything, Chad, belted out something to the effect of, hey, how y'all doing? And one of the people in the group immediately just laughed at him and said something, this is a paraphrase, but said something like, wow, here y'all are looking all California, and we walk up to you and you sound all redneck. And then walked away. And, we kind of made fun of Chad a little bit for that because it was, it was just kind of ridiculous. But then over, the next few hours, the next few days, I started kind of realizing that I sounded exactly like Chad did and kind of looked a little bit like Chad, too, in the same way. And started asking people, like, hey, do I have an accent? Like, what do I sound like? And basically every single person I talked to told me, yeah, you've got one of the thicker accents out of everybody, everybody in our group. And mind you, I did hang out with a lot of people who weren't originally from Allegheny County. So, that's when I learned I had an accent. And, you know, it was kind of a surprising moment for me. But since then, you know, I kind of had that first, you know, that first moment of grief where I was a little bit, quote, ashamed of it. But since then, I've learned to embrace it, and I'm very much so proud of it now. I work in academia. I teach and write and research topics very close to Appalachia for a living. And I've learned to really use the accent as a positive thing, as a prideful thing. It really helps to be able to speak the language of the people, the region that I study. It really helps me, I believe, with my research and my ability to do my job. And that's my story. So this is Josh Howard from Clifton Forge, Virginia. Thank y'all.
Looking for a rewind button? Don't worry. Inside Appalachia is available as a podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and wvpublic.org. You can subscribe and listen on your own time. We'll be right back with more about the way we talk inside Appalachia.
Support for Inside Appalachia is provided by Concord University in Athens, West Virginia. With career-focused liberal arts education in more than 80 degrees and programs to pursue various career options, not just a single job. More at concord.edu.
As you probably noticed, the accents of the people we spoke with in Virginia and North Carolina are different, but still Appalachian. Despite stereotypes, Appalachians don't have a homogenous way of speaking. And along those lines, let's hear from linguist Kirk Hazen, the director of the West Virginia Dialect Project. Hazen and his students are working to map West Virginia's dialects or accents, and he's finding that just within West Virginia alone, there's a cornucopia of different ways of speaking. We heard Shelley and Davis talking earlier about Appalachian code switching, and Hazen points out that it's not just with Appalachian speak. It's common for pretty much anyone to code switch in appropriate situations. Hazen was in Wyoming County, West Virginia, my old stomping grounds this past week. He was collecting interviews from natives.
My name is Ginger Smith, and I'm from Pineville, West Virginia.
I'm Pete Colasurto. I'm from Mullins, West Virginia, and I'm 20 years old.
Smith and Colasurto sit next to each other at the end of a large table with two microphones perched in front of them. Three reporters, including myself, are recording and paying close attention to the conversation. The couple agreed to take part in the study after an invitation from one of Hazen's recent research assistants, Jordan Lovejoy, who's also a Pineville native. She says helping with the West Virginia Dialect Project has also been a personal journey of finding a way to be proud of who she is.
Where we do maybe speak a little bit differently from people who are from more urban or populated, you're not less or less educated because of the way you speak. And I think that's really important for people in southern West Virginia who have experienced that stigma and that discrimination their entire lives.
Lovejoy and English professor Kirk Hazen sit on the other end of the table asking most of the questions.
I study language variation, both dialects today and how language has changed over time.
These two interviews are among about 185 that Hazen and his students have collected across West Virginia since 1998. After the interviews, participants are asked to read a specific passage and specific words.
Along the end of the dam. Next, he rode through some farms with soybean fields, and the ragweed was so bad it made him cough. He'd be a fool if he didn't have the sense to avoid those plants.
The audio files are stored anonymously in the Department of English at WVU and are then put into a computer program to analyze the sound patterns. The program looks for specific wave patterns to identify speakers' accents.
We have looked at some dialect features that have been around for a long time, such as using was with in sentences like, we was out late last night, or using them in a phrase such as, them boys over there. And then we've looked at other dialect features that are new or newer to the area, such as using like to introduce a quote, as in, she was like, no way. in looking at the older ones and some of the newer ones, we found out that if the dialect feature is seen as bad, seen negatively in some way, it's rapidly declined at the last half of the 20th century. Some of the new ones, however, have really taken off and become very widespread for West Virginia, just as they have in other parts of the United States.
Hazen is trying to raise awareness about language variation. He points out that everyone's dialect is unique.
But for some people, the language variation they use is seen as bad by society. It's out of social fashion. But those judgments are oftentimes judgments about rich versus poor, white versus black, Northerners versus Southerners, and there's other social factors driving it. So what I want people to take away is that everyone's language variation, everyone's dialect, is a beautiful and complex part of who they are.
It's no secret that Appalachians often carry a marked accent and often carry the stigma or negative stereotypes that come with it.
The stereotypes themselves are not so much about the language, but like all kinds of these stereotypes, whether it's for African-American English or Southern English or Appalachian English, the stereotype is about the people. And it's a kind of stigma, it's a kind of discrimination, which is unfair, but it certainly persists today. One of our linguists, Rosina Lippi Green, has said that dialect discrimination is the last open back door to discrimination in the United States today. And basically what this means is that you can't say to someone, well, I'm not going to hire you because you're from Appalachia, but you can still say to someone, well, I'm not going to hire you because you sound like that.
But for many Appalachians, including myself, our unique dialects and accents give us a sense of pride, that our unique voice helps us stand out in a crowd. It's kind of like we have our own club, and it makes me feel a strong connection to my home place and my family. With a little encouragement, I've learned to really love my twang slang. How about you? We're hearing from lots of our listeners today on our show. Tell us what you think of our accent. Send us a tweet at @InAppalachia or at @WVJessicaYLilly. In the second half of our show, we'll hear a few more dialects from throughout West Virginia. But first, now it's time for What's in a Name, a segment on Inside Appalachia that explores the history and folklore of the names of Appalachian places. Can you name the town in Virginia that's been referred to as the Magic City of Wise County? We'll have the answer after the break. You're listening to Inside Appalachia. You're Inside Appalachia. I'm Jessica Lilly.
You know, I'm awful proud to be born and raised in Appalachia, right in the smack dab middle of it. And if God gave me a choice, an opportunity to choose it over, I'd do it again right here in the smack dab middle of Appalachia. I wouldn't be born anywhere else. And I believe y'all feel the same way, don't you? Well, you know, when I write songs, I try to write a lot about my home place, and I enjoy it. It's easier to write about something that you love.
That's Alan Cathead Johnston opening up for a song he wrote about the mountains of Appalachia. So if you figured out the name of this week's What's in a Name quest, to tell us the story behind the magic city of Wise County, Virginia, we asked our intern, Jade Arthur Holtz, to do a little digging.
Did you know there is a town in Appalachia called Appalachia? We spoke with Annika Ever regarding this town of about 1,700 in Wise County, Virginia.
My name is Annika Ever. I'm from St. Paul, Virginia, which is in Wise County. That's also the county where the town of Appalachia, Virginia is located. I haven't really heard any folklore. Everything that I've heard is just that Appalachia got its name because of the Appalachian Mountains. Although I have heard the nickname, the Magic City of Wise County, I don't know where that nickname came from, and I don't know anybody in modern times who uses that term, but I have seen that in some historical records.
Maybe the reason the town was called the Magical City is because it's located in the heart of the Appalachian Mountains.
It is located with mountains all around it, kind of like in a little tiny valley. It's a coal mining community, or it was a coal mining community, so some of the houses still have that coal camp look to them. But in general, it looks like any other small town in America. They have swimming pool and grocery store and, you know, everything every other small town has. It's very pretty, actually, all around it, the mountains and everything. If you're not familiar with Wise County, I encourage people to come visit us. We have beautiful natural resources, and we're into ecotourism, and the river that runs through my hometown is actually one of the most biodiverse rivers in the world.
Is it the Clinch River?
Yes, it is.
It is, yeah. Now for the big question. How do the people of Wise County, Virginia pronounce the name of this little town in the middle of the mountains?
I've never heard anyone from our area, from Appalachia, call it anything other than Appalachia. When I hear someone say Appalachia or Appalachia or however they pronounce it, to me, that signifies that person is not from the Appalachian region.
Yeah, that seems to be the case. It seems like outsiders always pronounce it different than we do.
Yes.
Which is pretty interesting.
They're gonna tell the world all about me, but they can't even pronounce my name. I make my home in mountain people, my spirit flowing to their veins. My soul lives with them forever. Appalachia is my name. My soul will live with them forever. Appalachia is my name. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Again, that was musician Alan Cathead Johnston singing his song Appalachia. Before that, reporter Jade Arthur Holtz was getting the scoop from Wise County resident Annika Ever about how the town Appalachia got its name. If you have another story about the town of Appalachia, or if you want to share the way you say Appalachia, send us a tweet to @inAppalachia, hashtag what's in a name. We're listening to an episode that originally aired back in 2015 about an issue I'll wager a guess you feel very passionate about, the way we pronounce the word Appalachia, or Appalachia. As we heard earlier in today's show, linguist Kirk Hazen has been spending the last several years cataloging a lot of the different dialects people in West Virginia have, and he's come across several different pronunciations for the name of our region.
Growing up where I grew up, I probably would have said Appalachia, but nowadays I definitely say Appalachia. And that one, of all the ones I know of, is the one that is in widest variation and that natives themselves don't really agree on. I wish I had a good handle or a good explanation of who used what where, but that's the one name that natives I have found use and pronounce very differently.
Hazen is originally from Troy, Michigan. There are at least six known pronunciations of the word Appalachia. Yes, that's right, at least six different ways to say it. So there's Appalachia, 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 and it probably goes on from there. A few years ago, on NPR's Away with Words, a woman from California called in to ask which is the real way to pronounce Appalachia. And here's what Martha Barnett and Grant Barrett, the hosts of Away with Words, had to say about the many different ways to pronounce it.
Hi there, you have Away with Words.
Hi, this is Sherry.
Where are you calling from, Sherry?
I'm calling from Ocean Beach, California.
Well, welcome to the show. We're glad to have you.
Thank you.
What can we do for you?
Well, I wanted pronunciation on a mountain range in eastern USA.
Blue Ridge.
Allegheny.
I think you both might be right.
Oh, good. That was easy.
Yeah, I was actually watching a fascinating program about this mountain range on KPBS, our local station. Anyway, it's bothering me because I have said it one way my entire life, and I'm no spring chick. And then when I watch the program, and I tend to believe everything that is ever said on NPR or KPBS or public television. So
you poor woman.
I know, and I was just really confounded to find I may have been mispronouncing it my entire life. So here it is.
Well, spill it. Let's
hear it.
Tell
me which it is. It's either Appalachia or Appalachia.
Yes.
Now, the
yes.
people being interviewed on the program or being seen on the television were living in Appalachia,
uh-huh.
and that's the way they pronounced it. But the one woman in particular that was being interviewed a lot or featured a lot was not from Appalachia. So either she adopted the local way of saying it or, you know, that's the way it's supposed to be pronounced. Can you mm-hmm. help me out?
Yeah, and that's a lovely documentary, isn't it? Narrated by Sissy Spacek.
Yes.
Yeah,
and wonderful.
Beautiful scenery. That's mm-hmm. God's country there.
Sure.
In that special, they do say Appalachia, don't they?
They do.
Yes.
Which upset me.
Well, Sherry, you haven't been saying it wrong. I'll tell you that much, because I grew up saying Appalachia myself, or Appalachia, interchangeably, but the more time I spent over there, I heard Appalachia. And the thing is that Appalachia is a huge region. You're right that in the very core of it, the very center of it, you know, West Virginia, Eastern Kentucky, Western North Carolina, is definitely Appalachia. And you will be branded as an outsider if you say Appalachia, for sure.
They will literally brand you. They will fire up the iron. But I'll tell you something that'll make you feel even better, Sherry, which is there are at least six pronunciations that I can fish out of the various dictionaries I own. For example, some of the pronunciations think that the last syllable shouldn't be a schwa, that mm-hmm. it should be ia, so Appalachia or Appalachia. And there's a SH pronunciation versus a CH, so Appalachia.
Right.
Appalach, you know, there's a variety of these things here. And we have that lay or latch sound in the middle, one or the other. So you can mix these all up a variety of different ways. And there's the only rhyme or reason that I can find, besides the one that Martha identified, which is in the center they say Appalachia, is that in the south they are more likely to say Appalachia, and in the north they're more likely to say Appalachia or Appalachia.
Well, thank you so much, guys. I sure love your show.
All right, Sherry. Well, thanks a lot for calling.
Well, thank
Bye-bye,
you.
Sherry.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
So once you cross the Mason-Dixon line in Pennsylvania, generally the pronunciation of Appalachia changes. By the way, the Appalachian Trail Conservancy has a sign at their headquarters in Harpers Ferry, West Virginia, that says, in 40 miles north of this sign, the Appalachian Trail becomes the Appalachian Trail. So depending on where you are, people do feel very strongly about how you pronounce Appalachia. And if you pronounce it the incorrect way, depending on the locals, you'll probably be pegged as an outsider. Our reporter Derek Klein went to Boone, North Carolina, where he talked with Deborah Klein about the pronunciation. By the way, Derek and Deborah are not related.
My name's Deborah Klein, and I've lived in Boone, North Carolina my whole life.
Ms. Klein, can you, this is the name of the show that I work for. Can you just pronounce that for me?
Appalachia?
Say the whole
name. Inside Appalachia?
Have you heard Appalachia pronounced differently?
Lots of different ways, but it's it's Appalachian Mountains, not Appalachian or there's several different ways to say it, but it's Appalachian.
And do you think there's a negative stereotype about accents of the Appalachian people?
Not so much negative, but I think that they do get made fun of a lot, but...
Do you think it's true?
No. I mean, no matter where you come from, you have some kind of accent or way of speaking, and I don't think it should be negative in any way for anybody,
How do you feel when you hear other parts of the country say these things about the Appalachian people?
Well, it's almost like it's degrading sometimes. I don't know. Of course, people make fun of the way they talk up north, in Michigan and places like that. And I never did agree with that either. So I think, each person should be unique and individual, and how they say things is how they say things.
Have you ever had an experience in which your accent or someone else's accent was commented or talked about?
Well, at the diner I work at, several times people have asked me to repeat the bread choices because I say white. It's white bread, not white. It's white. And they'll ask me just to repeat the bread choices just so they can hear me say it. So
do you think you have an accent?
Oh, I know I do. I love it.
We're going to hear some recordings that we've collected from people throughout West Virginia. Even with these quick recordings, you'll probably tell that even a small state like this has many regional dialects. We'll start in the northern panhandle of West Virginia. Reporter Glennis Board of West Virginia Public Broadcasting took her recorder up to East Wheeling, where she asked a young woman there to share her thoughts on her accent. Listen to how Keza Griffin and many others in Wheeling pronounce Appalachia.
So I want you to, the first thing I want you to do is, could you read this word for me right there, the second one?
Inside Appalachia.
So has anyone ever said to you that you have an accent?
Yeah.
Do you remember that occasion? Can you tell me what that was like?
Well, they didn't say you have an accent. They just said you sound proper. And I was like, well, how else am I supposed to sound? I mean, am I not supposed to pronunciate my words correctly? I don't know. So... That's only a couple times I've actually had that occasion happen to me, too. And they just said I sound proper. I don't know. And that's basically the accent that we have.
Proper?
Proper. I guess that's what you can call it, because I don't know what else to call it. That's what everybody else says.
And how did that make you feel?
I don't know. I just brushed it off like, oh, okay. I mean, at least I pronunciate my words good.
Awesome. And then what do you think about... when you think about accents in West Virginia, and I say Appalachia, do you think what words spring to mind?
I really don't know, because I never really said that, but I said Appalachia, so mm-hmm. it's different. But I don't think we really have an accent. I think people from down south and stuff have an accent, but that's just because they're from down south. It's a different, area. So. Any other area is going to sound different. Like New York, they're different. My cousin, she's from Jersey. She sounds like she's from New York. She has an accent, but she said I sound proper. So she said she thinks I have an accent. And when my cousin, she's from Atlanta, she comes here and she thinks everybody sounds proper too.
Really?
Yeah.
Next, Glennis Board went to ask one of Keyes's neighbors, Pamela Lee, if she's been told by people that she has an accent. She said yes, but she didn't take it as an insult.
It just made me feel that I was important. Think I have an accent, so be it. Because I think the Spanish people have an accent, the French people, the German, and the English. So, hey, I love the way they sound, so evidently they must like the way I sound. That's how I feel.
And then over in West Virginia's Eastern Panhandle, reporter Liz McCormick of West Virginia Public Broadcasting spoke with two people there about their pronunciation of Appalachia.
My name is Jeremy Horner. I'm a lifelong resident of Jefferson County, West Virginia.
And I want you to pronounce these words for me.
Inside Appalachia.
What do you think of others pronouncing that word?
So Appalachia versus Appalachia? I don't think that I really live technically in Appalachia. I mean, yes, this region is part of Appalachia, but it's not really the hill country, so it's a different thing altogether. And being that my parents are from Pennsylvania, I had a different take on what an accent sounds like from a very young age. So I don't have, I have a, like, the mid-Atlantic lack of accent versus a West Virginia accent. The reason I say Appalachia is because I asked people from the area how they say it and paid attention to what people said from that area, be it West Virginia, Kentucky, Tennessee, New York, Northern Georgia, wherever, and that they say Appalachia, so that's why I say it, if that's how they prefer it to be pronounced.
What do you think of the West Virginia accent stereotype?
I think that stereotyping based on accent is just as stupid as any other stereotype. Just because someone sounds like they are from the middle of nowhere doesn't mean they don't know something.
And do you think you have an accent?
No. I think if I go elsewhere and I pronounce certain words, I tend to elongate vowels, particularly A's, and sometimes that sounds a little bit Southern. But I think if I were to go to, like, New England, like, I've definitely been told in New England that I have a Southern accent or a West Virginia accent. Well, they don't think it's a West Virginia accent because it's not really, because that's a completely different thing, and it comes from 350 to 400 miles west of here.
My name is Robert Gillette, and I'm a lifelong resident of Jefferson County, West Virginia.
And now will you pronounce this word?
Inside Appalachia.
So now what do you think of other people's pronouncing it differently? Like your friend here who pronounced it differently.
I understand it. If I get the message, that's fine. I'm not too worried about people's pronunciations. But some people like to have a regional, you know, the colloquial versions of what they say, kind of give it a flavor, I guess.
Now here's someone from Southern West Virginia who moved away in 2002.
I'm Scott Diener. I'm originally from Logan, West Virginia. I say Appalachia. I am a geography professor at Owens Community College in Toledo, Ohio, and my accent has changed. I haven't lived in West Virginia since 2002 when I graduated from Concord University. Then I attended graduate school at Ohio University in Athens, Ohio, which is still in Appalachia, just not in West Virginia. And then after I graduated from OU, I moved to Manhattan, Kansas, where I attended Kansas State University. And each time my accent has probably changed. But one of the funny things about it is that while my family and friends in Logan tell me I've completely lost my accent, people here in northwestern Ohio tell me that I still have a very thick accent. When I meet someone new for the first time, one of the first things they ask me is, "Where are you from?" They notice my accent. And I actually love those questions because I'm very proud of being from West Virginia, so it gives me a chance to talk about that.
And yet another accent and voice we have is from someone who grew up in Charleston, West Virginia, but who actually was traveling this week in New York City.
Hello, this is Crystal Good from Charleston, West Virginia. I am a poet and an entrepreneur. The social media company, Mixed Media. I am speaking to you from New York City. I'm actually on the street here on 127th in Harlem, which is just up the street from Langston Hughes' house. So I'm speaking to you about accents. So one of the things that's really interesting about being in New York is that everywhere I go, people ask me, "Well, where are you from?" And I always make them guess, and I give them wonderful West Virginia trivia and clues, but nobody ever guesses. And I think that's a bit telling of how the world knows of us or doesn't know of us in the heart of Appalachia there in West Virginia. And one of the things that I think is really interesting is when people ask me about my accent and I say I'm from West Virginia, then people make a connection, or they say I'm the first person that they've ever met from West Virginia, and they say it's always usually a pleasant experience, that they like my accent. It's not quite northern, not quite southern, but they could tell I wasn't, you know, from the deep, deep south, but something in there. I think we have an interesting cadence, a special lilt. There's something musical about the way we speak. And being from the Kanawha Valley, I can say that that's true of the people in my circles, also very true of Southern West Virginia, which is one of my favorite American accents. Northern West Virginia has its own sort of dialect, and Eastern and Western Virginia, same thing. We're all very regionally unique in our accents. And I've observed this, and being a poet, one of the things that I find really interesting is that, you know, when you do open mics or poetry shows, it's sort of known, or it can be a bit of a joke, the way you do spoken word, where, you know, the poet will step to the stage and be like, "Hello, people, I am here today to share with you a very special," or whatever the poem is. And it's sort of a very sing-songy kind of thing. But, you know, when I share my poetry, I really just share poems the way that I talk. And so they say I talk sing-songy. I'm not making any effort to do that. It's just kind of the way I talk.
Now we're going to jump over to Virginia for a bit, where linguistics professor Steven Weinberger at George Mason University explains how and when we develop accents and how they affect our identity. From With Good Reason, reporter Allison Quantz talked with Weinberger, who believes most people learn their accent from their peers and before they even hit first grade.
Regional accents can be subtle, or they can be as broad and obvious as a Tidewater O, but they are universal.
Everybody has an accent. And if we simply listen to people, we get an immediate impression of them. We compute their sounds, and we make judgments about them.
That's Steve Weinberger, a linguist at George Mason University. He believes we are taught early in our lives to make biased social judgments about people based on their speech patterns. While this is normal human behavior, the results are frequently flawed.
This will give you an example of how we judge accents. Let's listen to this Brooklyn speaker.
"Please call Stella. Ask her to bring those things with her from the store."
It's a very distinct accent, and people might be startled to learn that she is a PhD and a professor of French at a major university.
But how and when do we learn our accents? Surprisingly, Weinberger says, it's not from our families.
We get them from our peers, most linguists believe. Somewhere between ages 2 and 5, we develop our native language, and we typically get it from our playmates. If we got our accents from our parents, then we'd all speak like immigrants.
Weinberger runs the Speech Accent Archive, an online collection of nearly 900 examples of accents from both native and non-native English speakers. The site is used by linguists, researchers, and the occasional actor who needs to master an accent, a job, Weinberger says, that can be pretty tough.
I'm sure these actors sound perfectly legitimate to listeners who aren't native. So, for example, maybe Dick Van Dyke sounds okay to us. "Jim, Jiminy, Jim, Jiminy, Jim, Jim, Jim. Good luck, we're off when I shake hands with you." That Cockney accent goes over quite well for young American children who watch Mary Poppins. But for any Londoner, it's just simply horrible.
You can find the Speech Accent Archive at accent.gmu.edu. For the Virginia Foundation for the Humanities, I'm Allison Quantz.
Now we're headed to Eastern Kentucky to talk with people about accents. In 2002, Charity Willen and Kelly Caudell were local youth interns from Appleshop's Appalachian Media Institute. They produced a short film called Searching for an Appalachian Accent. We're going to play some clips from that film. We'll start with a story told by Katie Dollarhide from Kingdom Come Creek in Kentucky.
"I remember going to Indiana as a young child and going into a store with my cousin and him introducing me as his cousin from Kentucky. And they were like, 'Oh, well, say something for us.' And it was like, you know, I don't remember if I said hello or what I said, but it was like, 'Yeah, you can tell she's from Kentucky.' And I definitely, I mean, we have an accent, but it's something I like. It belongs to me, and I really like it. And I noticed that my kids, I listen to them sometimes, and I think, oh, man, they really have an accent. They have a good country accent. But that's the way I feel about it. I think it's a good country accent."
That was Katie Dollarhide from Eastern Kentucky. She says that one time she had a phone call from someone who asked her to speak so they could learn her Appalachian accent.
"Yeah, once when I was working at Apple Shop and I was working out at the front desk, I got a call and they just said,
Just talk for us for a few minutes. We want to hear your voice. We need an Appalachian accent. And I was like, you need an Appalachian accent. Can you tell me why you need an Appalachian accent? And I don't really remember what they were doing, if they were doing a movie or if they were doing a play. I think it was a play. And they were trying to get the idea of how Appalachian people talked. And so I talked to them on the phone for a few minutes, but my feeling about it was, you know, if you want an Appalachian accent, you can't have mine.
Next, here's a story about someone who stereotyped President Jimmy Carter's Georgian Southern accent. This story is told by Appleshop filmmaker Herb Smith.
When Jimmy Carter was first elected president, then I was up in New York City and I was at this meeting and this person said, what do you think about the new president? And I said, I don't know, I think it's going to be okay. And they said, yeah, but don't you think he's stupid? And I said, no. I said, I don't agree with him on everything, but I don't think he's stupid. And this person said to me, she said, but have you heard the way he talks? I didn't know what to say. And I just looked at her, and her face turned red. And she says, no, 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 I didn't mean it like that. But it was too late, you know, because she did mean it like that.
When a language dies, that culture as a active culture also dies. Without a unique representation of a culture, there is no culture with the death of the language.
That was Paula Moore, a sociology major at Eastern Kentucky University. Her interview and the other interviews with residents throughout Eastern Kentucky were all part of a 2002 film called Searching for an Appalachian Accent. Special thanks to Apple Shop and to Charity Willen and Kelly Caudell, who produced the film. We've posted a link where you can watch the film on our website at wvpublic.org. You're listening to Inside Appalachia. We hope you've enjoyed hearing this classic episode of Inside Appalachia about Appalachian dialects. We'd love to hear from you. How do you pronounce Appalachia? Do you code switch or talk differently when you go home compared when you're at work or travel outside our region? Have you ever been judged because of the way you talk? Join the conversation on Twitter or search for West Virginia Public Broadcasting's Facebook page and drop us a message there. You can also send us an email to insideappalachia@wvpublic.org, or heck, you can even mail us a letter to 600 Capitol Street, Charleston, West Virginia, 25301. Until next week, thanks for joining me as we travel throughout Appalachia. We had help producing Inside Appalachia this week from Apple Shop, WMMT with Good Reason, Away with Words, and special thanks to all of you who contributed your voices to our show. Music in today's show was provided by Alan Cathead Johnston, Ben Townsend, John Wyatt, Andy Agnew Jr., and Dog and Gun. Our What's in a Name theme music is by Martika and William with Johnson Ridge Special from their album Songs of a Tradition. Roxy Todd and I produce Inside Appalachia together. Our executive producer is Jesse Wright. Our audio mixer is Patrick Stevens. Claire Hemme helped with our digital correspondence. We'd love to hear from you. Find us on Twitter at InAppalachia. You can also address your letters to Inside Appalachia in care of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, and you can listen to any part of this episode on the Inside Appalachia podcast. Find it at wvpublic.org or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Jessica Lilly. Inside Appalachia is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting.
Support for Inside Appalachia is provided by Concord University in Athens, West Virginia. With career-focused liberal arts education in more than 80 degrees and programs to pursue various career options, not just a single job. More at concord.edu.